Is this thing working? Can you hear me? All right. Nice to see you today. After I'm back from the great north country of New York. Very beautiful place up there, but they've got 7 months of severe winter weather. They're expecting a lot of snow up there this year, and sometimes their snows are this high. So it's a beautiful place. Thank you to Ken for filling in for me and filling the pulpit while I was gone. Thank you guys for all the things that you do. Just got a note, which, yes. Yes, thank Julie for walking that. Well, Milo gave Julie a fit while I was gone. And the best I can figure is that he was rebelling because I wasn't there. He's being a spoilt kid. So, but that's all right. I went walking with them yesterday evening and I saw what she was talking about. And she's right. So, he'll be back. He'll be back. We got a report from the youth meeting on Thursday night, and Shirley sent that out to everybody via the email. And the youth meeting down at for the Billy Graham, the Reconnect with Jesus, went really, really well, far above what they expected. I think somebody said there was about 300 helpers and workers there. So there was all kinds of people. A lot of the teenagers went forward. So what a wonderful thing the Lord is doing. Now, all the churches have been praying about this, as you have, and God is answering. Now, remember, coming this Thursday night at Panthers, there'll be a debate between a Christian and a non-Christian. Should be fairly interesting. Then on Saturday night is going to be the crusade thing, presentation of the gospel. So, and you can get tickets. Please go online and get those tickets. If you don't go online, see somebody else, maybe they'll get that for you. And but you can get the tickets to go to that. So please keep that in mind, all right? What's that? I think you can buy them at the door, yes. But they're wanting... So everybody, if you can, go ahead and get it online. All right. Well, it was something amazing happened, which normally happens, Gail. Your message just kind of laid the foundation for what I'm going to talk about. She was talking about the Word of God today, and my message today is the power of the Word of God. So we're just going to dovetail right into that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so grateful for your blessings. Thank you for your protective hand on me as I travel, and your protective hand on Julie while she was here. And Father, thank you for your great blessings in the youth meeting on Thursday night here in Fort Macquarie. And we do ask that your blessings be on the meetings coming up this Thursday and Saturday. May it result in a lot of people reconnecting with Jesus. And Father, predominantly, it's about people connecting with Jesus for the first time. So Father, we pray that you'll bless it and you will give the fruit as only you can do. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to talk about the Bible today. Now, I believe that the Bible is God's revealed word to us. Now, I know that most of us believe that. And we meditate on it. We talk about it. We read it. We memorize it. And we know that the Word of God can be beneficial to us. How many have ever experienced that? The Word of God actually being beneficial to you? Well, we know, spiritually speaking, the Word of God is very, very refreshing. But let's talk about it in a practical sense. In everyday living, is the Word of God practical? Does it make a difference in our everyday, day-to-day life? Well, it should. And that's some things I want to talk about. And particularly how it's applied in my life. I can only tell my story. You've probably heard a lot of my story already, but there's a couple other things that I want to share with you that comes directly from the Word of God in my life. So we'll talk about those things in just a few moments. We're going to begin starting with Psalms 119, and you know this verse very, very well. Psalms 119, 105. 119, 105. There's even been a song written about this one. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We know that. So really, in a real sense, the Bible provides light in a very dark world. And folks, it is a dark world today. And the Bible provides light for our steps forward. He helps us find direction from His word. And but how does it do that? What's the result of it? Well, the writer of Psalms 119 gives us some insight on how it affected his life. And I'm going to go back and read Psalms 119, verses 97 through 104. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Now, there's a thought. How does the Word of God actually affect you? It's because you meditate in it. You allow it to spend time with you, and you spend time with it. He says, it's my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for your Word is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. You want to learn more than your teachers? Get in the Bible. He says, because your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Now, that analogy, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Anybody like honey? I like honey. And you put it on some bread. Gluten-free bread for me. Or put a little bit on cereal or something like that, and it just makes it really, really good. But have we ever thought about the Word of God actually being that sweet? That pleasing? I mean, sometimes we get into the Word of God and it kind of knocks us around. It's not all that pleasing. But it can be sweet if we really develop a love for that Word. And that's what the writer of Psalms 19 is talking about. So let me summarize some of the things that he said. First, your word makes me wiser than my enemies. Wow. Isn't that smart? Wouldn't that be nice to have that kind of wisdom? You'll find it in God's word. Secondly, it gives me more understanding than those who teach me. Don't try that in high school, students. All right. Thirdly, I understand more than those of old just because I know what God says. There's a big one. And I have to keep my feet from sinning so I can know your word. Remember the old analogy, sin will keep you from the Bible, and the Bible will keep you from sin. So keep that illustration in mind. So in a very practical way, the Bible makes us wiser, safer, more intelligent, and more understanding. And it will keep me in line with what God wants me to do. Pretty important stuff, isn't it? Now may I ask, how much time do you spend in God's Word? If it can provide all these wonderful things, wisdom, safety, all of that, it can do that, why don't we spend time in God's Word? Now, for one, I don't sit down and read large sections of the Word of God, because generally, as a preacher, I can get about two verses into it, and then the questions start firing off in my head. What about this? How about this? Where'd this come from? What's he talking about? So I get all confused, and if I do that more than about two verses, I can't get anything accomplished. So I just spend a couple of verses and meditate on those. But anyway, we need to spend time in God's Word so we can reap these benefits that it has for us. Now let me share some things personally from my life. When I went up to New York, first of all, we had a great time. Let me tell you what we did. We went fishing, hiking, fishing, taking the dogs for a walk and swim, fishing. I did more fishing in a week and a half than I have in the last 25 years. Do you hear me complaining? I caught a couple of smallmouth bass, and those things fight. What's that? Right, I caught a few of those, and they broke my line. You know those rocks at the bottom of the river? I caught a few of those. But no, we had a good time. And what an incredible place. You know, it's a rural community. Everywhere you look is farms. I told Ken he would love to go up there. Farms, and you could very tell from the aroma of the place that there was farms everywhere, because they were spreading manure on the paddocks, you know. And you may know what that smells like, but you really don't if you've never been there. But it was just a wonderful place. And the Mennonite and the Amish influence is huge. I mean, it's not uncommon to be going down the road, and here comes a black horse and buggy. You know, so the Amish, but seriously speaking, because of them, and they have been there dating back to the 1700s in that area, the Christian influence is extraordinary. Now, I felt corrected. You know, I'm from the South. And being raised in the Bible Belt, we didn't think the Yankees had a spirituality about them, you know. But you know what? After going up there, I found out they have more of a spirituality than those in the South do. But it's a wonderful place to live, and glory to God, God has taken Aaron and Erica and placed them right in the middle of a community that is just extraordinary. And I just praise the Lord for doing that. For putting them there. Well, I must go on. I remember said that the Amish were there. We went to a tractor supply store, and it's kind of a small Bunnings. You can buy everything for the farm. And while I was there, I noticed a veggie stand off to this side over here, and there's an Amish boy selling his veggies. And if it's Amish, you know it's going to be good. So whenever I went over and I found a nice rock melon, and boy, was it good. We just enjoyed that. But what I thought was interesting, in Tractor Supply, over on this side of the parking lot is a sign that says horses only. So they have parking for horses. So the horse was parked there, and his buggy was over here where he had his veggie stand. Well, but while I was there, the Lord taught me something about prayer. It's amazing how these things come up. Let me read to you first what the Apostle Paul says about prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything. Yeah, right. Anybody experience a lot of anxiety sometimes? Me too. Be not anxious about anything, but in everything, say it with me, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And if you do those things, you bring your request to the Lord, then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. When we pray as believers, Christians, our life is supposed to change. Come on, shake. Our life is supposed to be different because we pray. I mean, when the peace of God comes, it's supposed to change us. often we go to the Lord in prayer and we walk away about as miserable as we did before we started praying. Perhaps you need to pray a little more. Yes. All right, now that's a message all in itself, and you're absolutely right. Bring your requests to God with thanksgiving. I made a point when I began to pray. I began with thanksgiving. Then I get in, you know, the Lord's Prayer. I begin with thanksgiving, then I follow it up with my request. So that's just what I do. But we're supposed to come with thanksgiving. And sometimes it's hard to feel bad when you're praising God. If you're praising Him for the good things in your life, it changes the perspective of everything. But anyway, that's what Paul said about prayer. Let me tell you what happened. With Aaron, we were on an hour and a half drive back to Syracuse, New York, heading south to Syracuse, New York, from his place. And we got within 2 miles of the cutoff to where I'm supposed to be staying. I'll be flying out the next morning in his car. Stops. Okay. Pulled over to the side of the road, and Aaron, like Aaron normally does, he goes out and sits down on the guardrail and starts texting his wife. He is relaxed, cool, collected. He doesn't get excited about anything. Makes me sick. I don't think he got that from Julie and I at all. But anyway, he was sitting over there, and I was walking around. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? So I very quietly went up to the bonnet, we call them hoods over there, of the car, and I silently prayed, Lord, it sure would be nice that you fix this thing so we can be on our way. Lord, thank you very much. I went over and I sat down. He went and started the car. Guess what? Nothing. Then I heard that whisper. You know the whisper we talked about a few months ago? The Lord wants me to do something. And that whisper come, and He said, forget the silent stuff. Pray out loud so Aaron can hear you. Okay. Went over and sat down next to him and said, Aaron, buddy, I'm going to pray about this. So let's just join together and pray that God would touch this thing so it'll get going. I said, all right. Well, I prayed. Wasn't a real long prayer, but it's very specific. Lord, it'd be nice if you turned this car on so we can get on our way. And then you know what that Aaron did? He said, all right, let's go. He went up, shut the hood, shut the doors. He said, if we're going to pray, we're going to have faith. It's going to start. So he was ready to go. Run! See what happens when people pray? But, the silent prayer, which is my norm, wasn't enough this time around. He wanted me to pray out loud specifically, and this is for me to hear and for Aaron to hear. And I think God ministered to both of us during that time. We're in a time of need there. He's not worried, but I was. And God met the need that quick. That's what happens when people pray. So folks, I think God's showing me that we should pray. Why should we pray? Listen to this. God healed the womb of barren Hannah in response to her prayer. God sent fire down to consume Elijah's sacrifice when he prayed. God gave 15 more years to dying Hezekiah when he prayed. Fire consumed Solomon's dedication sacrifice when he prayed. God forgave an adulterous fleeing and a murderous heart when David prayed. God sent Ananias to pray for the blinded Saul. Why? Because he prayed. Jesus was transfigured when he prayed. God literally shook the house of a nervous church when they prayed. And God poured out his Holy Spirit on a waiting church when they prayed. So why do we pray? You see the power of prayer? So the lesson that God taught me in a very simple way, I need to pray. I need to trust. And Aaron gave this old preacher boy a lesson in faith. He just shut the bonnet, said, let's go. We're going to go. And we went. Because we prayed. Well, that's one lesson that he gave me. Now I'm going to go back to my story specifically, and most of you know my story. Perhaps you don't know this. I was raised in an old-style Pentecostal church with a little bit of radical charismatic mixed in. Kind of an odd lot when we'd go back and forth from the conservative Pentecostal and then the out-there Pentecostal, charismatic. And I was taught at that time, probably, as I was growing up, that a person could lose their salvation. And I believe that so strongly, I would almost call somebody crazy for thinking that you couldn't lose yourself. This eternal security, what a crazy bunch of stuff is that? That's what I believe. And then one time, I was at a music shop looking at a bass guitar, and the man sat down, we had a conversation, and he knew what I believed. He said, all right, you say that you can lose your salvation, right? I said, yeah, don't you? He said, let me quote a verse of scripture to you. You'll recognize this verse of scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But he put the emphasis here. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but at that time will have everlasting life. So to suggest that somebody that's not going to perish will perish, or somebody who has everlasting life and lose it would call the Bible, the Word of God, a liar. When he read that to me, I went, and for me to be speechless is relatively unheard of. But I didn't have an argument. A simple part of the Word of God spoke to me and grabbed this old boy. And it began leading me from a church that only talked about the Word of God to a church that actually believed the Word of God. So do you see the power in the practical application of the Scripture? Yes, spiritually refreshing, but practically very instructive. But that started my journey, which lasted several years, to find truth. And there's a lot of scripture in that too, because I was a young man looking for truth. And David wrote in Psalms 119, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. You want, young people, you want to have your way cleansed before the Lord? Spend time in the Word of God. It will keep you from sin. Spend time in the Bible. But then there was the day that I got saved. The scripture was very, very clear. You've heard me talk about the time I was sitting three rows back at the church. It was an independent Baptist church, and I couldn't even tell you what the preacher was preaching. And God spoke to me and said, Tony, you're lost. Well, I could have argued with him. I could have said, but you don't understand, Lord. I was raised in a Christian family. I've attended church all my life. Went to church three or four times a week. Lord, I've sang in a Christian group. I've taught Sunday school. I've done all these wonderful things. And then you're saying I'm lost? Then a scripture come to mind. Let me read it to you. Jesus is speaking, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, listen, On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And did we not do many works in your name? Sounds Christian, doesn't it? And then he declared to me, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Looks like a Christian, lost. Through that verse, God was speaking to me very clearly. It doesn't matter what you say you've done, Tony, you're lost. Well, what did I do? I said, well, I know what to do about it. Let's go back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him. If that verse is a lie, I'll never make it to heaven. But since that verse is true, because it's the word of God, if I believe in Jesus, I will have eternal life. You see how clear, see how simple the Bible is? It's not difficult at all. It doesn't take 6 years of a theological degree to understand the Bible. We need to come to him simply, only kind of the way that I can. The Apostle Paul fills it out in Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You see? Confess with my mouth, believe in my heart. And if I did those things, I would be saved according to the Bible. Not because I'm a church member, not because I'm a good person, not because I've taught Sunday school, not because I've traveled in a Christian group, not because I'm better looking than everybody else, which I am not, but because I've trusted the Word of God, as Gil said, cannot lie. And from that time forward, I never looked back. I was even impressed to go be baptized for the third time. Remember the first two I just lost. This one took. But what made the difference? The Word of God. One final thing. We moved to Australia. Our first year, some very, very difficult things happened. Maybe you know the story. But we went through some very, very difficult times. And I was ready to pull my hair out during those times. Because I was angry. And I told the Lord, we come halfway around the world to serve you, and you're letting all this happen? What do you think you're doing? I was just saying it. I went out and sat on a tree, and I had an argument with God. I said, you're going to have to do something. He said, I already have. I said, okay. Fine with me. Well, the next 2 hours, he began to reveal what he had already done. And then he brought something to mind, a verse that I'd already remembered and memorized. You know it too. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. But the one that hit me square between the eye, don't trust your own understanding. I didn't understand, but it really didn't matter. All God wanted me to do was trust him. And if I'll do that, he'll direct our paths, which he did. I shouldn't have been surprised, because he only did what he promised. Now, something I heard this past week. Down through these times in my life, God has revealed something to me from his word that changed my life. What if I had resisted? What if I had struggled with God about what he was telling me? You know what one of the greatest tragedies for anybody? It's to struggle with God and win. Let that one sink in. The greatest tragedy with anyone is to struggle with God and you win the argument. Because any one of those places down through that, if I had won the argument, God might have said, you're on your own. And God's will probably would have not been completed in my life. I heard a saying a long time ago that says this, you are the only person in this world that can stand in the way of the will of God in your life. No one else can but you. So may I encourage you, when God knocks on your heart or he impresses you to do something, don't struggle with him, because you might win. And if you do, who knows what the cost will be. So don't struggle with God and win. Yeah, it's okay to ask questions and say, I'm not sure. But then listen to what he said. Don't lean on your own understanding. You just acknowledge me. I'll take care of you. Well, are you going to trust him? There might be somebody here this morning that God's knocking on your door and he's wanting specifically something from you. Only something that you can do. And you're struggling with him. Anybody's ever struggled with God? Come on. Perhaps maybe somebody right now is struggling with God for whatever reason. Please don't win, because it's you who's going to lose. Surrender to him. Make sure what the Bible's saying. I'm not talking about what somebody else is saying. Make sure that what the Bible is saying. Then surrender to him. And then you will see the God's will in your life. But please surrender. Don't bullheadedly pursue your own will, because it's a no-win situation. So God's word is practical. It can change our lives every single day. But we have to submit to it as what it is, God's will to us. Let's pray. Gail, come ahead. We all love and appreciate Gail, don't we? Now, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to have this prayer for Gail, and then we'll be dismissed. So come on up, and let's pray for Gail. That God will touch her? I mean, my goodness, he's already used her. So come on, let's pray for Gail. Peter, I'm going to ask you to lead us out in prayer for Gail.
Heavenly Father, we come in obedience to your word. And Lord, we join our faith together now. And we ask, Lord, that you would touch Gail, that you would touch that tender tooth, proclaim healing in your mighty name. In the power with which you raised Jesus from the dead, we claim, Lord, that you will touch that tooth and heal it, that the pain will be gone, that Gail will be restored. Lord, she is your faithful servant, and we just claim this, Lord, for your glory and your glory alone, that she may continue to serve you in the way that you've called her. Lord, thank you.
Join with me. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. Thank you, Lynn, for that suggestion. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Everybody, have
I
a great
week. I thought you'd actually enjoy the silence.
Oh, well.